Now, I'm a come down, preach on the floor kind of person. The Spirit gets hold of me, I can't be still. I guess I could if I had to, but they told me it was okay. This morning, I read just a very brief text for us today in all of the beauty that we find in the book of Acts in Scripture. And as I prayed through this text in the weeks ahead in preparing for today, I began to, a song entered my mind, an old song. It's by Oscar and Hammerstein, and it's called "June is Bustin' Out All Over." You may have heard it from one of his music, Oscar and Hammerstein's musicals. And it's about June, you know, with everything that comes out in June, the plants and the heat and all of that stuff. Now, first of all, I do want to say, I may be old and retired, I do know it's not June. It is August. But I think the reason God gave that song in my mind is because I think we could take the idea from that song, June is busting out all over, and say, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is busting out all over. Because that's what we see. Luke's gospel, of course, the disciple Luke wrote it, and he also wrote the book of Acts. It's as if God gave him so much to say, he had to write it in two books. And what we see is Luke ends his gospel with Jesus having the disciples gather around him. And then, this is before he ascends to the right hand of the Father. We say that in our creed. And Jesus tells them that they are to be his witnesses. Luke begins the book of Acts with that very same scene. It's like, okay, don't forget this. I'm going to end with one and start again. Here's where we are. Jesus is about to ascend to God. And Jesus is giving all of these last minutes and instructions to the disciples. I think that's kind of like, you know, if you went to camp or somewhere when you were growing up, and on the way out the door and as you're getting out of the car at the camp place, your mama's telling you all these things. Don't chew with your mouth open. Be nice. Say hello. You know, all that stuff. I think that's what Jesus is doing, giving them instructions, and he commissions them. You shall be my witnesses, said Jesus, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the places around them. And then Jesus adds, and to the end of the earth. That kind of opens it up, doesn't it? So the disciples realize that Jesus is asking them to carry on the work he began. To live his life, to tell his stories, to show what it means to love God. And then Jesus says, but don't worry, you don't have to do it alone, for power will come upon you. And of course, we know that power is the Holy Spirit that comes in the second chapter of Acts upon all the people. The Holy Spirit is Jesus with us, leading and guiding, showing us the way, the journey. And that's what the book of Acts is about. It almost reads like a novel. There's so much in it. Chapter 9, I think, is particularly rich in that it has the story in it of the Apostle Paul. He starts off as Saul. Remember his story? And we won't go there. I told at Bethel this morning, Pastor Edgar's wife, I said, that's another sermon for Edgar. We'll leave that one for Edgar to go into Paul's story. But it's dramatic, isn't it? The way Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, his whole life has changed. And then following that, Paul is with the disciples, and people aren't sure whether to believe him or not. And some people are out to kill him, and he has to get out of the area there through a hole in the wall. He crawls in a basket, and they let him down in the dark of night to get out. All kinds of dramatic things. And then Peter rises up as a great leader in the church. Peter heals a man who has been paralyzed for a very long time. And the verses just prior to our story today. All of this action. And then we have a quieter story. 7 verses about a woman named Tabitha. It always makes me smile when I see that Luke has given, he's preparing for lots of different readers, giving her, Tabitha is the Aramaic name, the one that Jews would know, and the same word is Dorcas in Greek. And Luke gives us both of those. But Luke also gives us something extremely helpful in that he says, Tabitha is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple. Now we hear that and we go, all right, we know where she is because we call one another that, disciples, right? But this was eye-opening in the time it was written to the very first hearers of it. It is the only place in the New Testament where the word disciple is said of a woman. Now, it does not mean that there were no women disciples. It means that no one just used the word with it. Luke is a detailed person, don't you think? I believe he is to use this word. We know some of the first people at the tomb who knew that Jesus rose were women. And so there were women disciples. But in the culture, that, and we understand that first century culture to be male dominated. So what Luke is doing here is exactly what Jesus asked his disciples to do, to tell his story. Because the Apostle Paul writes later in the New Testament that there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither men nor women. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So if you look carefully in Luke's gospel and in Acts, he has stories about men disciples, women disciples, wanting to illustrate that the way of Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ, is for everyone, for all. Isn't that marvelous? The way, even the way it's, nobody writes like God does, right? Only God through people. A disciple, another word for disciple is one that I particularly like. Another word for disciple is learner. A learner. We are all learners. Are there any teachers in this group? Any teachers? Well, we're all learners, aren't we? I love the fact that we are learners. Part of my daily prayer is to pray and ask God. I tell God, I have so much to learn. I know I'm old. I know I've been around a long time, but I have so much to learn. And I ask God to continue teaching me. We will never point to this book and say, oh, I know all of that. We may read it through millions of times. We will never know it all. Why? It's a living word. And each time we come to it, we are changed because our experiences are different than the last time we read it. Where we are, who we have been, what we have learned, where we are in the world is different. Every time we come to the word, we are different. And when we are through reading it at that particular time, we are changed. Don't you love that? I do, because I know that God is still working on me. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. Luke says all of that. Can you imagine it? By calling Tabitha a disciple of Jesus Christ. Something else we should notice about Tabitha would be that she could sew. Are there people here who are good seamstress? Anyone here? Oh, good. You must be like me then. I can sew a little bit. I remember making a skirt one time, and I wore it one time, not even the whole day. I got home and hung it up and never put it on again. I was afraid it was going to fall apart while I was wearing it. Not my gift. There was someone in the last service who was a sewer. They, you know, must be very good at it. And I think Tabitha must have been. Because you see, there, as she got ill and she died, and they were taking care of her and just crying and grieving, as we all grieve at the death of people we love, then they're showing Peter. They want Peter to know a little about her. They want Peter to see her heart, not just see her as this lovely person that's lying here dead, but to see her heart. And so they get out the tunics and the things she's made for them. And I imagine through their tears, they're telling them how she did it and how she gave and how she loved them. We need to remember also that in the first century, when this was written, widows without any family, without a husband to care for them or family or anyone, they were on their own. Jobs for women were few and far between. They just didn't happen very much at all. And so for the basic necessities of life, without a family to watch over, you had to beg to see who would give you what you need. Tabitha saw the need for the widows. She saw when they didn't have what they needed to wear or funds to get them. She saw, and she had a gift, and she used that gift to give to those in need. In one of my first appointments, there was an older lady in the congregation, and she was rather infirm, could not often or always get out to be in church. But she wanted so much to be a part of things and all. And one day I get a call from her. And she says, "Pastor Jenny, I have an idea." And I said, "Great, let me hear it." And she said, "I want to start a plant ministry." And I said, tell me more. And her idea was that she was wonderful. She was one of those people who could almost raise up dead plants from the dead, you know. Could learn so much from her. And she would even just know how to break off things and put them in the dirt. And, you know, I'd try to do those things and they'd all just die and like the next day usually. And then she'd have a whole new plant with that. She had that kind of gift. And she said, "I want to take my gift with caring for and creating new plants and get some so we can give them away." And I said, "That sounds great." And then I said, "Would you also want to put instructions with us for people like me who kill them?" She said, "Yes, I could do that. I could do that." You know, so we came up together, the church and all, came up with a ministry where when people were ill or people needed cheering up, or even it's your birthday or someone heard that you were just feeling low or down, somebody would show up at your door with one of her plants with direction. Isn't that a great thing? It seems small, doesn't it? It changed lives. It showed the compassion and care that God has for us. That woman was a wonderful disciple. She couldn't get out much. She couldn't always be in church. But her plants, through the work she did with them in giving, spread the love of Jesus. I see Tabitha in a similar way. It may seem like a small gift, not an insignificant gift, of course, but it may seem small compared to, you lay her story beside the Apostle Paul, who, you know, I said, escaping through in the middle of the night when people are after him because he's talking about Jesus and he escapes through a hole in the wall and slips out of the way. You go, "Whoa, that's a disciple there." It is. But so is Tabitha. Because we know the impact we make on others in this life can be bold like Paul, or it can be quiet like Tabitha. One of the last things I did before retiring this summer is one of the churches I had was we did a family night dinner for parents and children that had been in a literacy program in Oxford for part of the summer. You know, when summer comes, we love the kids are being out, but they lose that momentum in gaining and reading and all that. And the literacy program helped keep that in place so they could be ready to start and hit the ground running when school started in the fall. So we did the dinner, and there was a woman there who brought her granddaughter every day to the literacy program, and she was coming up for the dinner and thanking us for doing the dinner. And, you know, we were all saying, "Well, you're welcome. It was something we could do for the program, and we're grateful to do it." And she said, well, it is great, and we thank you for that. And she said, I bet y'all are good disciples. And I said, well, I know we're working on it. We're learning it. We're learning how. And she said, I am a disciple too. And I said, that is wonderful. And I said, I bet you have a special gift. I could almost see it, that she had something she wanted to say. And I said, what else do you want to tell me about that? And she said, I sew. And I went, huh? A Tabitha. And I think I told her, I said, your name's not Tabitha, is it? You know, and she smiled. But she told me, she said, I have a gift of sewing. My mom taught me how to sew, and I've been sewing things. I really started sewing for others during COVID. And I bet when I say that, you know what she made first. Do you remember? The masks. Yes. She told me how many she made. I don't even remember the number. I was floored. She ended up taking them to police departments where they needed a fresh mask, you know, frequently, to nursing homes, some all kinds of places making that. And she said it was so joyful for me to be able to use my gifts of sewing for that. And then COVID ended and we didn't need masks anymore. And she said, for that, we're grateful. But I thought, what am I going to do now? I have this gift. So she went to, again, nursing homes where she had brought masks to some other entities around the town, and found things that people needed. She made cute little almost pockets that could be thumbtacked to the bulletin boards at school. Kids could put their papers in and all kinds of things, or go up there and get work to do and all that. Made it for all the teachers that wanted them. She had things she made for people, individuals, just so many things. I was so blessed to speak with her that evening and to hear how she is living out being a disciple. And I thanked her for the impact she's making. Because remember, I told you she brought her granddaughter to the dinner. And her granddaughter, I know, sees her. What are you making, Grandma? I'm making so-and-so, you know. Where are you taking it, Grandma? You see that kind of modeling that our children learn and that we learn from one another. Tabitha and her discipleship, just like Peter. Did you notice? I love the part where they went to Joppa. They didn't, or at least scripture doesn't say, they didn't tell him what they wanted. They just went and said, please come to us and hurry. And Peter says, okay. Wow. Don't we want that kind of response to God when God says, I need you to do this? You know, sometimes we go, what? I can't do this. But God says, you and I can do it. Well, okay. But Peter went when they called. And then I love where he gets everyone out of the room. And what's the first thing he does? He kneels and prays. You know, we saw Jesus do that. How many times do we see in scripture where Jesus would slip away in the early of the morning and go to pray? And the disciples go looking for him. I bet only after a time or two they go, oh, he's praying. I know he is. Tabitha learned that to love God, to be a disciple, is to love God with everything. I love the story. There's a lawyer that comes to Jesus one day, and he says, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, without missing a beat, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And Jesus added, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see how Jesus tied that love. If we love God, we can't help but love our neighbor, which means the way we live can make an impact on our neighbor. I don't know about you, but if we speak one thing and act differently, people stop listening to how we speak, right? They do. That old adage that says a picture is worth a thousand words. A life is worth a thousand words. But with discipleship, the words and the life go together. Do we always get it right every time? No. Isn't that why Jesus came? So that we could be forgiven and start over again every single day. Tabitha made an impact on the world. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, it says that the early church turned the world upside down. Do you know what I think? I think we should say that the early church, since it turned the world to Jesus Christ, the early church turned the world right side up. Yeah. Because knowing and loving and serving Jesus is the way we were meant to be and to do. Because loving God with everything we have has feet. Feet so we can go to where the need is. Loving God with everything God has made us to be has hands so that we can serve the dinners, love the children, help those in need. Loving God with everything that we have has hands so that we can pray. Sometimes when people know we're praying, and sometimes even when they don't. But God knows. This morning, God's given us a text about discipleship and about the impact we can make on life. Hear this last verse again. This, all that Peter did, raising up Tabitha in the story there, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. They changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. God changed them. Belief came. Jesus came. And the world was turned right side up. May you and I continue that good work. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.